Journal entry number one. Oh, how no one understands the dark, brooding angst stirring in my loins. I couldn't concentrate in school again today. Thoughts of him distracted me from my composition writing class. How could I possibly worry about the fundamentals of English grammar stuff? Stupid. When there's a tall, sexy devil stalking the spooky nights. Oh, I wish he would stalk me. I know some people would say that I'm being a silly pants, that he would devour my soul or drive me to madness, but they don't understand him like I do. I know he would not do that to me. I mean, how could he? After all, I'm his biggest fan. Oh well, I suppose I'll just have to prove them all wrong. Journal entry 2. Woe is me. Must I be alone for all eternity, doomed to wander the cruel world in my misunderstoodedness? I spent the entire afternoon in the cemetery after school today, drawing the sacred symbol on each and every tombstone, the circle of darkness with the X of also darkness, awaiting for him to run into my arms. I even wore my outfit, my extra special Sailor Moon miniskirt, and my thigh-high stockings. I must have ridden my tricycle around those gravestones 1,000 times before I ran out of IC. How could he not be enticed by me? Am I not enticing? Of course I am. It must have been those fart faces who showed up and interrupted my unholy ritual. They called me names. Really mean names that cut into my soul like razor blades. I tried not to cry, but I could not stop myself. You should stop now, for you shouldn't make fun of the black forces that dwell within me. I yelled at them before they started throwing bananas at me. Bananas that cut deeper than any black razor or blackness ever could. I rode my tricycle home as fast as I could. On my way home, I checked my vampire Pikachu watch and saw it was almost 6 o'clock. My mother must have been worried sick. But it was all right. I got home and she gave me some spaghetti. Yummy. Journal entry number 3. I just took a bubble bath, and now I need to check my emails for the rightful acceptance of my creepypasta submission. Let's take a look and... Nothing! Nothing! Ugh. Anger and other dirty talk, how could it have not been posted yet? I submitted it yesterday afternoon! How long do I have to wait for the world to see my spectacular greatness? I know. That jerky jerkface administrator is jealous of my uncanny ability to write epic tales of melancholy spookiness. Of course that's what it is. Nobody else could pass up my masterpiece unless they were intimidated. My magnum opus was called The Grand Adventures of the Totally Badass and in no way at all homoerotic sparkly vampires. It was so awesome. I guess I'm just going to have to send that jerk a bunch of emails outlining why he's such a jerk. Then he'll see. They'll all see. But it's almost 8. And I need to snuggle into bed next to my Jeff the Killer body pillow and let my darky dark mind of darkness take me to the ultra darkness of dreamland. Journal entry number 4. I woke up from that dream again, and I just had to write it down this time. It was the one where I'm lying there, still in my bed, completely naked. When the wind blows my bedroom window open. And then, that beautiful, slender body of his floats in, hovering above me, tempting me with the prospects of sweet, sweaty passion. Come to me, sweet prince. I say to him as he lowers himself gracefully. His black suit stretched tight across his lovely form. Do you know how long I've been waiting for you? I ask him. He never says a word. Oh, the strong and silent type, aren't you? I whisper into where his earball should be. That's okay. I continue in the most seductive voice I can manage. You don't have to say a thing. I pull on his necktie, pulling his faceless face against mine. Then, we started making out and it was sexy. Then after like an hour, I whisper back into his earballs. How about you take off that suit and show me what those tentacles can really do? And when I woke up, my sheets were all sticky. Journal entry number 5. Oh my god! I don't even know how to explain it, but after that hot, sticky dream, I just couldn't go back to sleep. So I just kind of stayed awake and sent 50 complaints to that jerkface administrator. When I got this sense, you know? A most arousing sense at that. I got this feeling that I needed to look out of my window, and when I did, It was him! Slenderman was watching me from across the street. I knew it was him at once. He's impossible to mistake, after all. That tall, thin body in the most fabulous of suits. He was just standing there, motionless, expressionless, beckoning to me. Oh shit, I better get back to the window. He's still out there, and I need to press my bare nipples against the glass to keep him interested. I'll come back later to write how it went. Oh god, I feel as giddy as a schoolgirl at the gynecologist's. The next day, Officer Stinson is standing at the scene of the crime. His partner, Officer Drake, approaches him with a cup of coffee in each hand.
So what in the hell in the hootenanny happened here?
Asked Drake as he glanced over the carnage. Up high in a tree, sectioned off by yellow hazard tape, is the body of a young boy, his torso impaled on one of the many jagged branches. On the ground below him, there are several plastic bags, filled with what is assumed to be some of the boy's organs. They included eyes, kidneys, liver, pancreas, gallbladder, and several fingers. Officer Stinson hands his partner a piece of paper, the piece of parchment covered in blood.
We found this nailed to the tree,
says Stinson to Drake.
I think you know what it means.
Drake read the note. Each letter, written in crimson, spelled out the words.
No means no, Drake reads out loud.
Ugh, great googly moogly. Not another one of these sickos. I must be the third one this year. And it does explain why the kid up there is wearing a dress.
Officer Stinson looks back up into the tree to see that the boy is, in fact, still wearing his Sailor Moon outfit.
Yeah, says Stinson. We're dealing with one twisted pervert here, all right. We checked this kid's journal earlier this morning, and it looked like he was getting ready to try and date rape Slenderman.
Drake shakes his head in disgust.
Sweet zombie Jesus. Kids these days, messing around on the interwebs, thinking that it couldn't happen to them, and then all of a sudden old Slenny gets sick and tired of being sexually harassed. Then again, can anyone really blame him for resorting to this?
Stinson looked down at his feet, with a somber look on his face.
No, I don't think anyone really can. But we gotta look at it this way. At least for now, we can take comfort in knowing that this nightmare is finally over.
Just then, the boy in the tree coughs out a spattering of blood.
Why? Why don't you love me?
Oh, shit, son of a...
Without hesitation, officers Drake and Stinson pull out their sidearms from their holsters, emptying the clips into the whining fanboy. When the dust finally settles, Stinson looks back over to Drake.
Okay. Now it's over. Jesus Christ. Give me that fucking coffee. I'm gonna need all the caffeine I can get to get over this shit. Alright. What's next? We got a case about somebody trying to... Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Somebody trying to, kidnap and, date rape Jeffrey Woods. Jeffrey Woods? Oh, God. You mean Jeff the Killer? Yep. Jesus fucking Christ. God damn, it never fucking ends!
And that, kids, is why we do not over-sexualize creepypasta monsters. You may think they look sexy when you see some sexy anime fan art of them on Google Images or DeviantArt or Pinterest or what have you, but... just remember, no means no, and don't be surprised if you end up with a blade, or a tentacle, or a batch of sharp teeth, or what have you lodged into your flesh, leaving you bleeding out to death and wondering where you went wrong. Because, yeah, you open doors that you shouldn't be opening when you mess with this shit. I mean, I would know.